Sophie Snail, Dick King Smith. Story number 6. Such an intelligent look. It was September and the twins had just gone back to school. Next term, Sophie would be going too. She thought about this and wondered if she would like it. There would be good things and bad things about going to school. The bad things would be having to wear school uniform, having to meet Dawn again, for Dawn was starting this very term, having to meet other strange children as awful as Dawn, having to meet strange grown-ups. The teachers might be awful too. Matthew and Mark said that they weren't, but you could never tell. Having to eat school lunches, especially pilchards in tomato sauce. Of course, there would be good things too, thought Sophie. Not having to help wash up the breakfast things at home. Being with her brothers in term time, she did not know that once she was at school, they would not take the slightest notice of her. Drinking morning milk. At home, Mum always said, if you're thirsty, have a drink of water. Milk's fattening. But Sophie knew at school you were encouraged to drink your morning milk, and sometimes there were extra bottles if children were away. Doing judo, Sophie fancied throwing someone down, Dawn perhaps, and farming lessons. You went to school, Sophie knew, to be taught things for when you were grown up. They would say, what are you going to be? And she'd say, a lady farmer, and they'd give her farming lessons. Sophie's present farming was carried out in the potting shed. Here she kept her flocks and herds. She had a new system of free-range woodlouse farming. She had given up collecting matchsticks, which they didn't much seem to like, and now kept the woodlice in a seed tray so that they could come and go as they pleased, and fed them on cornflakes. The cornflakes seemed to disappear, though she had never actually seen a woodlouse chewing one. This morning there were only 3 woodlice in the seed tree, and one of those was lying upside down, its 7 pairs of legs pointed at the roof of the potting shed.
I hope you haven't hurt your back, my dear, said Sophie, grinning as she tipped it the right way up.
She dropped a couple of cornflakes into the tray.
I wonder where the rest of the herd has got to, she said.
On a country holiday, Sophie had once seen a farmer calling in his dairy herd for milking.
Cow, 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 he had shouted,
and the big black and white animals had all started walking across the field towards him.
Louse, louse, louse,
Sophie shouted, but nobody came, so she ate the rest of the handful of cornflakes. She went on in to inspect the rest of her stock in their various pens on an old table in the shed. First, there was a shoebox, and on it was written, Centipedes. There were 2 in it, one large and dark, one small and ginger. Sophie was planning to increase the size of this flock, but wild centipedes were difficult animals to capture, so quickly did they scuttle. She was not sure what they ate and was trying them with biscuit crumbs.
These shouldn't upset you, my dears, she said. They're digestives.
Next, there was an old cake tin full of soil and earthworms. Earthworms ate earth, Sophie knew, so there were no feeding problems here. She was only really interested in the largest worms and measured her captures with an old wooden ruler. This was difficult because it takes 2 people to stretch out a wriggling worm and she needed Matthew or Mark to hold one end. Her record to date was a giant of 15 centimetres. Beyond the worm tin was another shoebox marked Earwigs. Earwigs keeping was a branch of Sophie's farming that she had only recently taken up, thanks to her great-great-aunt. Before Aunt Al's visit, Sophie had been wary of these dangerous-looking beasts with their crescent-shaped nippers.
They bite, she had said.
Load of rubbish, Aunt Al had said. No good being scared of animals if you're going to be a farmer. Go and catch one and bring it here. And Sophie had caught one, cautiously, using an empty matchbox as a trap. And Aunt Al had picked it out, and it hadn't bitten her.
You have to be firm with them, she said. Don't stand any nonsense.
So now Sophie collected earwigs, still using the matchbox, and fed them on fruit.
She dropped a rotten plum into the box before moving on to a coffee jar on whose glass wall hung a single enormous slug. It was dark brown in colour with a lovely orange rim around its huge sticky foot. Sophie put a bit of cabbage leaf into the jar. She was quite proud of this monster, whose capture had covered her hands in a thick slime that took pumice stones to get off. But her favourite animals were in the last pen of all, a large cardboard box, and she opened the lid of this and tore up the rest of the cabbage leaf and dropped it in. Under the black printed lettering on the side of the box, which said baked beans, was a single word in big red capital letters, which said snails. Ever since the day of the great snail race, Sophie had become especially fond of these creatures. She would spend ages watching them crawl along in their dignified way, wriggling their stalky eyes and leaving glistening silvery trails on the potting shed table. Every day, Sophie would go on a snail hunt around the garden, adding to her herd, and there were seldom less than 20 in the box, of all shapes and sizes and shades of green or brown. The number varied, because Sophie had cut a lot of snail-sized holes in the lid of the large box, so that anyone who wished could leave. But always in the back of Sophie's mind, as she turned over stones or peered into cracks in the garden wall or searched in the flower beds, was the hope that one day, perhaps, she just might meet again one very particular snail. "What did you have for lunch?" Sophie asked the twins when they came home from school. "Pilchards in tomato sauce," they said, and Sophie's face fell. "Did you see Dawn?" she said. "Yes," said Matthew, "she's got a new pony." "A blue one," said Mark. "Were there lots of strange children?"
"Lots."
"Very strange."
Sophie tried a couple of good things.
"Did you do judo?" she said.
"Only juniors do judo," they said.
"Well, did you have farming lessons?"
Matthew and Mark looked at each other, and each rolled his eyes upwards and raised his eyebrows and tapped his forehead with one finger. And gloomily, Sophie stumped off. But after that, the day improved. First, she found a large earwig and actually caught it with her bare hands. And then she found a very pretty caterpillar, which she put in a small box in the potting shed. She was not too sure how to spell it, so she simply wrote cat on the box. Good luck comes in threes, thought Sophie that evening as she gazed out of her bedroom window. It was a beautiful September evening. No one could possibly have been unhappy on such an evening, not even faced with pilchards in tomato sauce. Sophie leaned on the sill and played with a little tendril that was trying to creep across it unnoticed. She looked straight down the creeper-covered wall, and there, right under her nose, climbing up towards it, was a very small snail. A snail no bigger than Sophie's middle fingernail. A snail that was a lovely buttercup yellow. Very slowly, but very determinedly, it plodded up the last few inches of wall and over the edge of the windowsill. And then it stopped and raised its head in greeting. It had such an intelligent look. Sophie's face lit up in one enormous grin.
"Good evening, my dear," she said softly. "What took you so long?"
The end.